How is everyone surviving this year's yatra? Today, we wish to have a kirtan procession to several of the holy temples of Vrindavan. The next 3 days we will be remaining in the town of Vrindavan. In order to go to the many temples with the many devotees who are assembled, we will only speak very briefly here. I'll speak something about each temple we're going to, and then we'll do kirtan procession and offer our surrendered obeisances at the lotus feet of each of these beautiful forms of the Lord in Vrindavan. We are at Kaliya Ghat, or Kaliya Daha. The story is told in Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna and Gopas were herding the cows. At the time, Balaramji did not come that day. While they were here, at this very place, this was a lake connected to the river Jamuna. The sun was very hot, so they were afflicted with thirst. So first cows and then cowherd boys drank the water to quench their thirst. They all immediately died. The water was poisoned. Krishna, out of his causeless mercy, glanced upon the cowherd boys and the cows and brought them back to life. This is an important principle, that we are all spiritually dead. Because actually, forgetfulness is like death. When we forget who we are, what is our relationship with Krishna, we are spiritually dead. And no one in this world can bring a dead man back to life. It's like at our Bhaktivedanta hospital. They can do so much work to help a person to somehow or other live. But once they die, that's the end. All attempts finished. They just cover him and put him in one of their refrigerators until someone comes to take the body to burn it or bury it or feed it to the birds, according to their traditions. But when death is there, it is the end of a particular lifetime. But Krishna is the ultimate giver of life. So when we are spiritually dead due to forgetfulness in the darkness of the ignorance of Maya, nobody anywhere can bring back our spiritual lives, except Krishna. When Krishna is pleased upon us and glances upon us, then like the gopas we come back to life. So Krishna's glance comes through the mercy of his devotees in this world. Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nistara Paya Chekeva. without the mercy of Vaishnavas, which is the mercy of Krishna, no one can be spiritually resurrected in the service of the Lord. So Krishna knew that a very horrible, demoniac, deadly serpent had poisoned these waters. In fact, he was living in a city beneath this lake called Jalastaba. His name was Kaliya. So Lord Sri Krishna wanted to purify the waters, bring this nuisance away from Vrindavan. So he climbed up this very Kadamba tree that we are sitting under today. It is interesting, Shukadev Goswami describes how Kaliya was so poisonous simply by his living in that lake. The lake was so deadly that the waves on top were creating flames. It was a pit of poison. And if any drop touched anything, it would die. Even the vapors were so deadly that if any bird or other creature flew overhead, immediately they would drop dead just by breathing in the poisonous air it was creating. So this Kadamba tree, somehow or other, was the only thing in this entire area that was still alive. Commentators explain two reasons. One, that Garuda knew that Krishna would perform this lila, so he put nectar on this tree. And the other, some commentators explain that actually when Krishna placed his feet on this tree, it started blossoming with leaves and flowers. It came alive. So on this holy Kadamba tree, Krishna tied back his hair, adjusted his turban, tightened his belt, began to move his arms like a wrestler, and then he jumped in. Although Krishna was a small boy, he made such a tumultuous splash that the waters of this lake were just overflowing in all directions. His jumping in made such a crashing sound. And then Krishna, in this deep, thick, black, fiery, poisonous water, began to smile and play all kinds of nice swimming games in the water. Meanwhile, Kaliya, on bottom of lake, he was outraged. Who dares trespass on my property? So he came to the surface from the bottom of the lake where he had his beautiful palace. And there he saw Lord Krishna. Kaliya's eyes. He had 1,000 heads and hoods, of which 101 were prominent. All of those 2,000 eyes were red with fury. There were flames pouring out of his mouth. His tongue was slithering in and out. He was making a horrible hissing sound. And Krishna was just playing and smiling as his friends were watching this incredible drama. So then, Kaliya, with one of his heads, he dashed at Krishna to bite him. And then he coiled his body around Gopal. When the cowherd boys saw their Gopal in such a condition, Krishna was literally motionless. Such a sweet, soft, child he appeared to be. And here was this gigantic, deadly, demoniac serpent coiled all around his body. The cows were just weeping incessant tears. The gopas were crying out, "Alas, alas, we cannot bear to live." They all collapsed. Was laying on the bank of the Jamuna, weeping, weeping, and weeping. It was unbearable to them. At that time, all sorts of inauspicious omens came into the atmosphere. There were earthquakes. The jackals started screaming and howling at the sun. In the sky, the sun became dull. The whole sky became smoky, and there were severe winds. In the body, men's left side began to vibrate and women's right sides. Seeing these fearful signs, the Brijabasis were struck with anxiety. They didn't know what to do. So they all began to run, everyone. From the old great-grandfathers and grandmothers to the little babies, everyone came running. They followed Lord Sri Krishna's footprints to this place. The young gopis, seeing Krishna in such a situation, their hearts and their minds just were bereft, practically void of life. And Krishna, while in the coils of Kaliya, was smiling and talking. But he appeared totally helpless. The older gopis, Krishna was not talking. They were remembering his talks. They were remembering his loving smiles, but they were seeing him in this situation where he was completely motionless, almost lifeless, in the coils of Kaliya. Yashoda Mayi, she tried to actually jump in the water to somehow or other either die or protect Krishna. But Balaramji and the other gopis somehow or other stopped her from doing so. All the residents of Vrindavan were standing or laying down like corpses, crying. The only way they could survive was somehow or other they were chanting the glorious pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna. Except Lord Balaramji. He was having a very good time. He was thinking that, who is this insignificant little water snake compared to my brother Krishna? He was thinking this little, in my form of Sheshanaga, Krishna never played with me like this. How fortunate is this snake? Can a small wind blow over a mountain? Can darkness illuminate the sun? Can a clump of little reeds put out a forest fire? What will this tiny little water snake do to my brother Krishna? Krishna was in the coils of Kaliya, in this place where you are sitting, for 2 hours. It seemed like two lifetimes of Brahma for the Brijabasis. When they were just at the verge of death, Krishna took compassion upon them. Now you may ask, why? Why did Krishna make the Brijabasis suffer? He could have killed that little snake anytime he wanted. Because while he was in that helpless condition, the intensity of their love was being intensified. He was actually performing this Leela simply to bring sublime ecstasies to the hearts of the Vrijabhasis. Then he expanded his body just enough so that Kaliya had to expand also. Then he decreased his side and slipped out from his coils. Then Krishna began to go in circles around Kaliya, and Kaliya was trying to somehow or other devour him. But Krishna was moving so fast. Kaliya was going in circles, and Krishna was going in circles, and Kaliya was becoming very dizzy because he couldn't catch Krishna. Kaliya was becoming exhausted going in these circles with Krishna. Then Krishna pushed down one of his principal heads and jumped on top of it and began to dance. What a beautiful dance. All the thousand hoods of Kaliya were trying to attack Krishna, and Krishna was dancing on one head at a time so beautifully. Just like Prabhupada explains, like a dramatic performer on stage. What an incredible stage this was. Although his lotus feet, so soft, that Yashoda Mai and gopis, they were always suffering in their hearts, thinking Krishna may step on a petal. He may step on a pebble or a thorn or a stick. His feet are so soft. Gopis were thinking when they would put his feet on the softest part of their body, it was too hard for Krishna's feet. They were so soft. Anything touched them, they would start to change colors. Krishna reveals himself according to how we approach him. To those who love him, his feet are most soft, most pleasing. But for Kaliya, his feet were like thunderbolts. Every time Krishna, so gracefully, he was not jumping on his head, he was gracefully dancing. But every time any part of his foot touched Kaliya's head, it was just crushing his coil, crushing his entire being. Until the head began to vomit first. Fire was pouring out. Then all the poisons in his body started pouring out of his mouth in vomiting form until the head was just devastated. Then Krishna jumped on the next head and was dancing. When the demigods saw this, they were struck with wonder. They were playing kettle drums. They had a whole orchestra in the sky. Honestly, they were playing all celestial instruments. It was the most incredible performance they ever saw. And the apsaras and the gandharvas, they were trying to learn how to dance from Krishna. As he was dancing and dancing and dancing and dancing from one head to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next, until Kaliya, all of his poison was just bellowing out of his mouth. And he was on the verge of death. Kaliya's wives, Nagapatnis, they were great devotees. They were very happy to see their husband being killed by Krishna. They were thinking, let him die, this demon. Very good. It's the best thing that could happen to him. But then they saw that Kali was so exhausted, so defeated, that he actually became humble. Sometimes that happens. When you become absolutely defeated, all your pride is just smashed to pieces, you become a little humble. So Kaliya's wives were thinking that our husband, he has become humble. Not only that, but he's regretting his sinful activities. Our husband is actually praying for the shelter of Krishna. He has become a Vaishnava. Now, you ladies whose husbands are not Vaishnavas, you know how good they must have felt to see that their husbands were actually becoming devotees. So then, the Nagapatnis came forward with folded hands and began to pray to Lord Krishna. That, dear Krishna, your punishment about upon our husband is your inconceivable causeless mercy. You are equal to all. You are the father of all living beings. Whatever you do to anyone is always for their ultimate benefit. We cannot understand what pious deeds our husband must have performed to receive the dust of your lotus feet upon his heads. Even Lakshmi Devi prays for the dust of your feet upon her heads. Neither in heaven or in Siddhaloka, even those who attain liberation are not so fortunate as Kaliya today, because he has received the treasure of your lotus feet upon his head. Please, please forgive our husband for his misdeeds and be compassionate to us by sparing our husband's life. Because these devotees prayed for this sinful Kaliya, Krishna became very compassionate and forgave him. This is an eternal principle. When we have acted in poisonous and envious ways due to materialistic ego, only if great souls pray to God to forgive us and to spare us will we be delivered. So Krishna very gracefully jumped off the head of Kaliya. And then Kaliya, after hearing his wives offer these nice prayers, he actually learned how to pray. Srila Prabhupada explains that we must learn how to pray from the great souls. Praying is not just a matter of concoction. When we hear the prayers of Kunti, the prayers of Gopis, the prayers of Akrura, the prayers of Dhruva, the prayers of Prahlad, the prayers of Arjuna, we actually learn what is the process and what is the actual consciousness of offering prayers. What is the subject matter of our prayer? We pray. In prayer, first we have to humble ourselves. First we address the Lord in his supreme position. Then we approach him in our humble position, as helpless and worthless and fallen. And then we beg. We beg for service. We beg for forgiveness. We beg for mercy and offer obeisances. So Kaliya prayed in this way, and Krishna so kindly forgave him. Not only that, he gave him devotional service. But he told him, because you have made such a disturbance here, you must leave this place. He sent him to the Ramanaka Lake, somewhere in the ocean. And he said, Garuda will not disturb you there, because when he sees my footprints on your head, he will become your friend. Because we know the story that Garuda was at one time cursed that he could not come to this place. And Kaliya, after fighting with Garuda and being defeated, he came to take shelter here. But after receiving the mercy of Lord Krishna, Kaliya became fearless. And it is explained that Kaliyuga presented Krishna with a very loving offering of worship. He gave him a garland, ornaments, Kustubha mani from his treasury, offered him his life and heart, and then he departed. And the Jamuna was restored to nectar. And when Krishna came out of the water, Lord Balaram and the Gopas embraced him, and Yashoda Mai covered his body with the tears of her love. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that Kaliya represents cruelty, envy, deceit, which are all like poison to bhakti in our heart. Deceitfulness, cruelty. What is cruelty? When we put ourselves above someone else, then that propensity to cruelty is there. The only way to overcome this deceitfulness, this enviousness. Haribo. Is by rendering humble service to the Lord and His devotees, and purifying our heart by loudly chanting the Holy Name. From here we will be going to the Dwadas Aditya Tiyo, also known as, and underneath that is a place called Praskananda. After Lord Krishna spent all those many, many hours in his pastimes with Kaliya, he went to the top of this hill, and there, the sun god appeared. 12, right? 12 forms of the sun appeared to warm Krishna, because he was in the water for so long. And he perspired, and his perspiration filled a kund called Praskananda, just below the Dwadas Aditya Tiyo. On that hill is the original temple of Vrindavan, Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan. Vajranath, the great grandson of Lord Krishna, he arranged for the installation of many deities in Brajbhumi. Three of them most prominent. These three deities are the supreme worshipable deities of our Gaudiya Sampradaya: Madan Mohan, Govinda, and Gopinath. Something like Kaliya. See that black, that black poison coming out? So Madan Mohan, after many, many years, was lost to the vision of the world. But Sri Advaitacharya, during his pilgrimage, came to Vrindavan. And he was staying at a place called Advaitabhat, which we will pass by in just a few minutes. And there he discovered the deity of Madan Gopal. He gave that deity to one of his disciples, named Chobe in Mathura. And Later on, Srila Sanatana Goswami came to Vrindavan on the order of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was doing Madhukari. And that Madan Mohan wanted to live with Sanatana Goswami. So he appeared in a dream to that Brahmin and told him to give him as a gift to Sri Sanatana Goswami. But Sanatana Goswami had nothing. He was just begging Madhukari. He had no house, nothing. And here's a beautiful, ancient deity. But Madan Mohan told Sanatana Goswami, whatever you have, you just give me there. So on top of that hill, he worshipped Madan Mohan under a tree. And he used to offer what he used to eat, something called bati, some wheat flour mixed with Jamuna water, made into a ball, and put right into fire. Rivo. You take cow dung and make a fire, you just put it on the fire, and roll it around, and it becomes a kind of a hard little ball. He used to make that type of roti, very simple roti. And in this way, Madan Mohan was perfectly satisfied because he was worshipped with pure unalloyed love. But a wealthy merchant named Krishnadas Kapoor, he was coming on boat of Jamuna on his way to Agra. And by Madan Mohanji's will, the boat got stuck right under this hill. And it is said that Madan Gopal, who Sanatana Goswami called Madan Mohan, he actually took the form of a little boy and came down and told the man, if you want to save your boat, there's a great sage living up there. You should ask him. He can help you. So he went up, and Sanatana Goswami taught him the principles of devotional service and said, the only shelter we have is Madan Mohan. You should pray to him. You should surrender to him. You should chant his holy names. So he began to do that. And then his boat was released from the trappings it was in within the waters. But by the time that happened, he had such faith in Sanatana Goswami and such devotion to Madan Mohan, he sold everything he had and came back with all of his wealth and offered it to Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami would accept nothing for himself, but told him, why should Madan Mohanji be living under a tree? You may build him a beautiful temple. So this temple is the first major temple that was erected here in Vrindavan. It has become a symbol of Sri Vrindavan town. Also there is Sanatana Goswami's Bhajan Kutir, and just below is the Samadhi Mandir of Srila Sanatana Goswami. Just behind Kaliadaha, where we are, is the Samadhi Mandir of Prabodhananda Saraswati, the uncle of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who came to Vrindavan and wrote such great spiritual literatures in glorification of Sri Radharani and in glorification of Sri Vrindavan Dham. One of the very worshipable great acharyas of our sampradaya. In Krishna's Leela, he is Tunga Vidya Sakhi, one of the eight principal gopis of Sri Radharani's service. Then, if the temple is open, we will enter into Banki Bihari Temple. It is perhaps the most famous temple in Vrindavan amongst the people of India. In fact, in Bombay, people tell me, they say, we went to Vrindavan. I said, where did you go? We went to the temple. Most people don't know there's 5,000 temples in India. Many people in India, they just think the temple in Vrindavan is Banki Bihari. You go, where do you go? Very famous temple. One day a year, they show Banki Bihari's lotus feet. Other times it's covered. Hundreds of thousands of people come from all over to see those feet. One day a year, they take his flute from his belt and put it in his hands, and thousands and thousands and tens and hundreds, I don't know, millions of people come to see Banki Bihari's flute in his hand. So he's very popular. In the Nimbark Sampradaya, there was an acharya of the name Haridas Swami, also known as Kirtaniya Haridas. He wrote so many songs glorifying Sri Sri Radha Krishna in Vrindavan. He lived approximately the same time as the six Goswamis. He was a very great devotee. He was doing his bhajan in Niduban. And one night he had a dream where Krishna appeared to him and told him he was living in the ground under some bushes in Niduban. So he went to that place and there he found Banki Bihari. Even to this day, if you go to Niduban, the most important part of that is Banki Bihari's Janmastan. There's a place where actually Banki Bihari was taken from the ground. He is a self-manifested deity. And the pujaris open and close the curtains very much, because it is said that if Banki Bihari's lotus eyes sees his devotees and his devotees sees him, there's so much love that sometimes Banki Bihari just comes off the altar. So to keep him where he is, they do not allow anyone to look at him for more than a few seconds at a time, and don't allow him to see anyone for a few seconds. From Banki Bihari Temple, we will pass through Radha Ballabha Temple, one of the very, very famous temples of Vrindavan. This temple was originally the personal Ishtadeva of Lord Shiva, and was given to Hithari Bams, who was a very, very famous author of transcendental literatures and devotee here in Vrindavan. And the Goswami family there likes our devotees very, very much. Beautiful deity. From there we will go to Radha Shyam Sundar Mandir, the deity of Shyamananda Goswami. Shyamananda Goswami is from Orissa. His name was Duki Krishnadas. He was disciple of Hridaya Chaitanya, who was a disciple of Gauri Das Pandit, who was Subal in Krishna's Leela, and one of the most intimate, loving servants of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Hridaya Chaitanya sent Duki Krishna to Vrindavan to study under Jiva Goswami at Radha Damodar Temple, which he did. He studied, and his principal classmates were Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivas Acharya. That is advanced civilization. Advanced civilization, whether you're riding in a car or walking on your feet or just flying in an airplane, if you're chanting the holy names of Krishna, that is advanced civilization. So it is said there's many beautiful stories about Shyamananda Goswami, his darshan of Sri Radharani. His, besides becoming a great scholar studying the scriptures, he would go through the kunjas of Vrindavan and have the service of sweeping the roads. such a menial service. This is how great acharyas would live. He would just sweep the roads for all the Vrijavasis and the other. Sweep the roads to make Vrindavan very nice for the pleasure of Radha, Krishna and the devotees. And he found the ankle bell of Srimati Radharani. And in this story, Srimati Radharani actually gives him a deity of Krishna. And when we go to Radha Shyam Sundar Temple, to the left of the main deity in the temple, you'll see a smaller deity. That is Shyamananda Prabhu's personal deity, the gift of Sri Radha. And the main deity in the temple, Radha Shyam Sundar, was personally worshipped by Baladev Vidyabhushan. And just across the street from the temple is the Samadhi Mandir of Shyamananda Goswami. So, this temple is very, very special. They decorate Shyam Sundar and Sri Radhika and have the most wonderful festivals. And if we're very fortunate, we will have darshan. From Radha Shyam Sundar Temple, our kirtan will proceed to the place that Srila Prabhupada called the center of the universe. Sri Sri Radha Damodar Mandir, where Srila Prabhupada personally resided and performed his bhajan for about 6 years. And when we get to Radha Damodar Temple, we will speak something. That will be the next place we will speak. But we have a special celebration that we're going to have at Radha Damodar Temple. We will hear the glories of Srila Prabhupada from Her Grace Malati Devi Mataji. So in order to accomplish this very insurmountable goal we want to achieve today of visiting all these temples, we will all have to be very cooperative and very very speedy. So what we'll do is we'll go in from one side of a temple and we'll come out from the other side. And in the middle we'll all be able to have the darshan of the Lord. But please everyone cooperate nicely. And then we can go to all of these places. And if you lose the devotee, somehow just listen for the kirtan. The holy name is the only way we will find our way in this world. Thank you very much.